Okay, let's begin. We are learning today about, I want to finish up Baruch Sha'amar, and then I want to go into Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis Ledor, and then we're going to start Baruch Sha'amar. You can hear me okay, Meir? You can hear me? It's okay? The sound is good?
Yeah, how come I see two Mark Plotniks?
I only see one Mark Plotnik.
Mark Plotnik became very famous, and he became a double.
I only see one Mark Plotnik.
Double the fun, double your pleasure.
The more to love you.
Okay, I have to close down everything, but I'm listening.
Okay, let's go. We're going to finish up today. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis. I want to tell you two more ideas. Number one, why do we recite the Mizmor before we begin the Psukah de Zimra? Why is it that we recite the Mizmor of Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David? It's Mizmor Lamed. This is something that we discussed last week. We say this Mizmor at the end of davening and Chanukah. Why do we recite? Now, obviously, Chanukah fits because Chanukah was all about the Chanukah Sabayis. The Chanukah Sabayis. But what does the Chanukah Sabayis have to do with Psukei de Zimra? So it's very obviously it's very simple. The very simple reason is that davening that we pray every day corresponds to the Korbanos in the Beis Hamikdash. Uneshalma Farim Sefaseinu. Our tefilos every day is equivalent to the offering of the Tamid Shal Shachar, the Tamid Shal Ben Harabayim, and the burning of the Imurim on the Mizbech the entire night. And Chazal are coming to give us a lesson, they're trying to give us a little Musar, that when you daven, you're entering into the Beis HaMikdash. And a person has a tendency to get used to something, and it becomes stale and old. Before we begin davening, Chazal wanted us to look at the makom that we're coming into, the Beis HaKnesses, which is the Mikdash Me'at, as if you're coming here for the very first time. Every tefillah, again, another davening, another day, there's a powerful lesson. This is the tefillah that we recite when we inaugurate a new makom. When we inaugurate a Beis HaKnesses, we publicly say this together, pasuk by pasuk. When Chanukah, the whole Yantav of Chanukah was basically the renewal of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was dysfunctional for over 50 years. It was contaminated through and through by the Yevonim. When the Chashmonaim prevailed over the Yevonim and they demolished the Mizbeach, and they rebuilt a brand new Mizbeach, and they cleansed the entire Mikdash from all of its contamination, it was basically a new Beis HaMikdash. It was a renewal. They recited Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David. When you come to Shul, don't look at davening, another day, another davening, another. It has to be Chodosh. Your attitude towards coming into the Beis HaKnesses every single day has to be as if today is the first day in my life that I've seen this makom. There is renewal in what I'm witnessing in front of me, and that will inspire you to daven a heartfelt, meaningful, uplifting davening, not the same old stale davening that we had the day before and 2 days ago. It's a polite reminder, renew yourself. It's all in the mind. The attitude of davening is all in the mind. Okay, that's one idea. Another idea I want to present to you is, unfortunately, we have a tendency in our life to believe, I mean, in everything that we do is we have to get something out of our service. Nobody works for free, okay? Nobody. Everyone that does something, what's in it for me? You try to get someone to lift a finger for free. Everything is money, 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 money. And if that's the attitude of life, come to shul and you're going to invest in your prayer service, 45 minutes, a half an hour, 20 minutes, you're going to invest. The question that we live with in this country is, what's in it for me? What am I getting out of this? So we think, oh, you know, we're going to daven, and Hashem will give us whatever we want. We're going to ask for parnasa, for refuah, for shaduchim, for success, for kavod, for happiness, who knows what. And we're going to get it. Otherwise, we're not going to waste our time, because nobody works for free. David HaMelech, there's nothing he wanted more desperately than to build the Beis HaMikdash. There's nothing that meant more to him than to be zoiche, to build the Beis HaMikdash. And he spent his entire life collecting assets and collecting items and saying Tehillim and looking for the precise location. It's a big mystery where should be the Makom HaMikdash. He had to consult with the Nevi'im. His whole life was devoted to one thing only, to build the Makom for Hashem. And guess what? He didn't get it. Hashem said to David, you cannot be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash because your hands are full of blood. And therefore, you will not be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. Your son Shlomo, he will build the Beis HaMikdash. He'll give over the Megillah. There was a blueprint that was handed down back from Moshe Rabbeinu. You'll give it to your son Shlomo. You'll give him all of the materials, all of the money. You'll lay the foundation. Chazal said that he did lay the foundation. There is a legend that the Kosel HaMaravi, the wall of the Azara, was the foundation was laid by David HaMelech himself. You go to Kosel HaMaravi, you're standing on top of an area where there's a legend. Is it true or not? No one knows, but that David HaMelech himself laid the foundation for the western wall of the Har HaBayis, which is the Kosel HaMaravi. But in David's lifetime, he failed. Not failed, but he did not succeed. But David davened. He davened and worked and struggled and consulted. And yet Hashem said to David, no, it will go to your son. This mizmah that we recite before we enter into the tefillah is a polite reminder to us. If you think you're coming to shul and you're going to get what you want, you're in the wrong place. It's not the way it works. Don't have any expectation that your tefillos will be answered in your lifetime. This is not a business. In the world of business, nobody works for free. Try to get even someone to do for you the simplest thing. There's no money, forget it. You go nowhere. If that's the attitude you have when you come to daven, you're in the wrong place. And to make it crystal clear, that don't have here any expectations. When you come to shul, you will begin with Mizmar Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. This Mizmar was recited by Shlomo HaMelech long after David died, when Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, and Shlomo reflected, oh, this is... Now he recited the words of David. He recited the composition that David said. David prepared this mizmor to be said at the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, which he prayed for and he yearned for, and he worked his whole life for. But he did not achieve it. It did not happen in his lifetime. And now, after he died, now it happened many years later in the lifetime of Shlomo. So Shlomo took out the speech that David was going to make at the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash in his lifetime, and he read it. But David wasn't here to read it, to say the Mizmar himself. Why? Hashem has his reasons. Hashem said to David, you will not be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. Yet we have to appreciate that the only reason why Shlomo was zoiche to build a Beis HaMikdash, the only reason why we have a Beis HaMikdash later in history, in the third Beis HaMikdash, is because of David. But it did not happen in David's lifetime. That's the Musar Haskel. When you come to shul and you daven, don't come with expectations that what you pray for, you will receive in your lifetime. It could very well be that your prayers will not be answered, or if they'll be answered, they'll be answered in the lifetime of your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren at some point later on in time. The Iker Tavkid of coming to Daven is to come close to Hashem. It's to acknowledge that everything is in the hands of Hashem, and of course to be mispalel. And if it's a sincere prayer, the prayer will not go and come back empty-handed. It will be answered in one way or another, at one point in time or another, lav dafka, not necessarily this moment, not necessarily this year, not necessarily in 10 years, maybe in 100 years. If the prayer is sincere, it will be answered in a way. How it will be answered, in which dimension, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to take a prayer and bring it into the world of reality, maybe is beyond our understanding. We have emuna that it will be fulfilled at some point in time, but not the way you expect and the way you want. Ki loy machshevoisai machshevoiseichem v'loy darcheichem dirachoy nu'um Hashem Elokim. That's the message of this mizmar. Look at David. Nothing he wanted more than to build the Beis HaMikdash. Nothing he wanted more than to be able to say these words at the time of the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. And guess what? He didn't happen. So do you think you, who are we, Keneged David? We're nothing of nothing, Keneged David HaMelech. Who are we to think that we will be zoichet to see the fulfillment of everything that it says here, of that of our tefillos when we come to David before Hashem? Okay, that is a second idea. A third idea of Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David. I saw this in a very choshev sefer. I actually forgot who says. It's not my idea, but what I'm about to tell you. This Mizmor is a little bit bizarre. It starts off with Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David, the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. And I mean, that's the major theme of, that's what we ordinarily associate this mizmar with, the theme of a renewal of the Beis HaMikdash and specifically the Beis HaMikdash. But when we read through the mizmar, almost every single word of the mizmar has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. We focus on Hashem, you have lifted me up, my enemies were unable to rejoice. He goes on to say that I was about to die. Shivati elecha vatir po'eni, you have healed me. Ha'alisa min sh'ol nafshi, you have lifted me from the grave. Chiyisani, you gave me life. You prevented me miyor divar, from going into the grave. And then he goes on to say, Hashem, you only get angry for 1 second. You give me life. Even though when I went to sleep at night, I cried, but I survived. The Labok Arena. The whole thing here goes on. Let me go towards the end. Mabetza bidami, what benefit is there to my blood? Beridity in my descent, El Shachas, to the grave. Hayodicha afar. In the grave will my dust acknowledge you. Hayagir amitecha shma Hashem v'chaneni, Hashem show me favor. Hashem heyei ozali hafachta, you have transformed mispidi, my mourning, l'mocholi, into dancing. Okay, all of these things are describing like the greatest horrors of life. What's going on here? So the answer is as follows. Achman looks on the person, let's say I have a person who is the top of his game. He's successful. And he's sitting in the office and he's about to make a business deal and he can become very, very wealthy. And he's praying to Hashem, Hashem, help me succeed in this deal, the deal of the century. And then all of a sudden he's not feeling well, he gets bad news. And the doctors tell him, you know something? You have a very serious disease and illness. We don't even know if you'll live more than a couple of days. At this moment in time, nothing matters anymore. All of his grand plans for honor, prestige, and to build buildings and expand his family with son-in-laws and children and no, the whole nine yards is out the window. The man is fighting for survival. He doesn't have time to have a dilemma. Should I get, you know, the latest smartphone? Should I get an Apple? Should I get an Android? Should I get this brand, that brand? Should I spend on my new phone $1,000? Should I spend on my new phone $1,300? That's not what's on his mind now. What's on his mind now is survival. Just, will I make it through the day? Will I have enough oxygen in my lungs to survive today? I pray to Hashem I should be able to breathe. That's it. Nothing else matters. The color of my car doesn't matter. I have much, much bigger problems than those issues. What happens if the person then miraculously recovers and he has enough oxygen to get through the day, and then the next day he's okay, a little bit better, and then after a week he gets out of the hospital and he goes back home, and then he's being mispalled that he should have enough koyach to get out of bed, he should be able to eat on his own, enough koyach to walk with a walker, enough koyach should be able to go in a wheelchair to shul, then he's a new madrega, naya madrega, enough koyach that he can walk on his own, without a walker, without a wheelchair. Enough. Then he has, he wants to pray to Hashem, he should have enough strength that he should be able to get through a half a day without falling asleep. And then he's mispalled, I should have enough koyach, I can go back to work. Enough koyach, I can get a job. And then slowly, little by little, he builds himself up from one thing to the next. And then let's say he finds himself in 5 years from now sitting behind a desk in the most expensive real estate in the world and making deals. And he wants to sign a deal to build the most magnificent house. He wants to purchase the most magnificent house. And he wants to do something that is just beyond belief. And he closes the deal. And now he wants to thank Hashem. Ribbono shel Olam, I want to thank you for giving me the success in being able to close the deal, in helping me make all of these arrangements and succeeding in accomplishing this magnificent feat. Does he at this point in time thank Hashem that he had enough oxygen to get through the day? No. Long, long forgotten. That event where he could barely breathe, his oxygen level has descended, has declined to a level where there was a very realistic possibility that he would not survive the day and the week, forget about it. There was a zero chance he would live even more than a couple of days, but even just to get through the day, and he was praying to Hashem, just one more day, give me enough oxygen to breathe for one more day, and he survived. Does he thank Hashem now at this moment in time, 10 years later, when he's sitting on top of the world, and he had the success to achieve the impossible in conquering the world? Nah. He thanks Hashem. He makes a Shechayanu. I just went and I bought a yacht. I bought a building. I bought the Freedom Tower. I am now the sole owner of the Freedom Tower. I'm now going to make millions and millions of dollars a day for my success. I just purchased LaGuardia Airport. I'm the sole owner of the airport, and now I can charge every single person who walks in their tax. You know how rich I am? Because I own this piece of property. That's what I thank Hashem for. Do I thank Hashem that 10 years ago I couldn't breathe and I was begging Hashem, give me enough oxygen for one day? Long forgotten. David HaMelech here has reached the pinnacle of it, is describing, he never achieved this, but is describing Al Pi Nevuah the pinnacle of his life, of what should have been in his life. And that is Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis David. There would be no greater achievement in his life, in this world, than for David to succeed in building, establishing the Beis HaMikdash, the Mokoim of the Hashroas HaShchina, the permanent resting place of Hashem's presence on this world. There is nothing comparable in the entire world to this achievement, to what would be this achievement. And here it is. We open the doors. The Beis HaMikdash is operational. Anyone who wants to bring a carbon, come. Anyone who, the Levim, come. Kehanim, come. The Shechina is here. The Eish Min HaShemayim has descended. Here is Ki Beisi Beis Tefila L'chol HaAmim. David HaMelech has achieved the impossible. And David HaMelech is now saying to Hashem, thank you. Thank you for this success. Mizmar Shir. I offer to you, Hashem, a Mizmar, a song, a Shir, another song, different types of songs, in thanking you, Hashem, for Chanukah Sabayis, the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. L'David, for me, look what you've given me, Hashem. But then David says, but Ribbono Shel Olam, I didn't forget that 20 years ago, I was lying on my bed and I was about to die. And the doctors told me it's time to say Vidui. You're not going to make it through the night. David HaMelech, many times in his life, he was deathly ill. And David HaMelech, many times in his life, was in very grave danger. And his life could have ended in an instant. And at those moments of time, David HaMelech wasn't thinking about accomplishing the impossible of building a Beis HaMikdash. He was praying to Hashem, Hashem, give me enough oxygen to get through the night. Hashem, give me, save me from my enemies. My enemies, they're right outside. They can blow up this house in 1 second. I'll be gone in an instant. David had much bigger problems on his head. Now David is coming to thank Hashem. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David. David says, Ribbono Shel Olam, when I thank you for the Beis HaMikdash, I didn't forget about the other things, the other events, the other miracles that you have done on my behalf. They're fresh in my mind. And at this moment of achievement and accomplishment, I have a duty, an obligation to reflect upon those moments when this wasn't even a hava mina. I was just struggling for survival and you let me survive. I thank you for that now, right here, that night, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, miraculously, somehow my lungs were able to pump and put enough oxygen into my blood, even though al derech hateva, I should have been finished. He says just one more line. The whole thing is one line. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David. And then he goes on to his entire life, and he says, I didn't forget about those things either, Hashem. That's the Musa Haskel of coming to Daven. Come to Daven for Kodesh Baruch, come to sing Shir Kodesh Baruch Hu. Everyone at this moment in time in their life, you're holding in a certain point in your life. As you go through life, you go through different matzavim, and you need certain things now. When a person is young, he needs this. When he gets older, he needs this. When he gets at this stage in his life, every stage in your life, you need something different. And that's your focus. That is where you put your full concentration. That's where you find yourself. But what about all the things that happened in your life when many, many years ago? Yeah, they were very nice. Everything was very, very nice. And I thanked Hashem for those things at the time. But it's time to move on. Now I have to deal with what I have in front of me. If I bought a new car today, so I have to thank Hashem for the new car. I'm not going to thank Hashem today from the bar mitzvah presents that I got when I was 50 years ago. I'm going to thank Hashem for my bar mitzvah, that my parents were good and they made for me a beautiful bar mitzvah and I got a nice bar mitzvah present. That's not for today. That was 50 years ago. Today, I thank you that I did very well on the golf course. I was successful on the golf course. I was able to impress my friends. That's what I thank you. That's relevant. The past, it's not, I already been there, done that. I thanked Hashem for those events. No. That is the message Chazal are giving us to recite before you begin davening. Don't live in a time, don't live in a small little world. Think big. Look back at your whole life. When you come to daven today, don't isolate the moment. This is the moment. This is what I need now. Look at the big picture. Look at everything of your life. Look at all of those incredible events that happened in your life. You'll never be able to thank Hashem for what He has done for you from the time you were born until now. Don't just ignore it. Okay, we're not. No one's telling you that you should go and spend your whole Shemona Esher thinking about your bar mitzvah presents. Okay, that's ridiculous, obviously, but don't put yourself in a small world. Be a big person. Look at everything. Look at the big picture. Look at all of the little things that happened in your life that brought you to this moment. Put everything in perspective. That is a message that's clearly expressed here in this mizmar. The ikar part of the mizmar is the first line, and that's really it. Mizmar shel Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. We're now coming into the shul. You say this when you come to shul. Here we are. The shul should be renewed every day. It should be like a new shul every day. It's a new shul, new experience, and we're thanking Hashem that we have a Beis HaKnesses to come into Davin. But let's not forget, you know, everything that ever happened to us in our lives that brought us to this day that we're able to come and say to you, Hashem, Baruch Hashem, we have a place to Davin. There have been many, many, many events, many, many things that happened that we have to always continue to reflect and thank Hashem for. Okay, that is, so we, Sach HaKol, I think we spent over today, we laid out three ideas, that's what we conclude with, three ideas for Mizmar shel Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid, why it's mentioned here. Hischatshus, this is renewal, inauguration, daven in a shul. Now that's a very important halacha, people don't know this halacha. No, I'll tell you something personal. I had access during Corona season to daven in a shul every single day. Now with a minion. Okay, I have two shuls that I had explicit permission from the rabbi that I can come. I can come, do whatever I want there. I can come, sit there. And in fact, I have a third shul. I have another rabbi. He told me later on also, I can come to a shul. I can sit and learn. And from Adraba, he wants to be, should be learning in the shul. And basically, I would be all alone. If I want to come, I can come to the shul, be all alone. Social, the ultimate social distancing. And that shul, so that shul was sanitized. That the third shul, they brought in a real heavy-duty crew. They brought in a crew. They even have the sign there on the sign that they came in, you know, they spritzed all these chemicals. Who knows what they did over there? And the rabbi told me, if I want, I can come there. I said, I have ready my place where I go. I went to the Midwood, and I went to the Rabbi Shmid Shul. There was no one, mamish, nobody. And I realized now I made a very big mistake. What was my mistake? I should have gone there to daven every day. I really should, instead of davening at home, like I did for 3 months, I really should have gone to daven in a shul, not at home. Because I was definitely damaged by davening at home. It definitely took away from davening. But there's a halacha. The halacha is, even if you have to daven b'yechidus, you're supposed to daven in a makom kadosh, in a holy place. Your home is not a shul. It's not a makom kadosh. A person has to daven b'yechidus. If you can go to a shul to daven b'yechidus, that's what you're supposed to do. Obviously, during Corona, we could not do that. That was not permitted. It was impossible for most people. So you have a choice. But when you do have a choice, even if you're not going to daven with a minion, you're supposed to go to a holy place. A holy place to daven, not to daven. And that's why these minyanim, people make minyanim at home when there's no need to. I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about in the good old days. People make minyanim on Friday night. They want to make a minion in their home Friday night, convenience. Instead of going to shul, we'll daven in the house. We'll daven, everyone just come together into the house, or Yom Tif, or this or that. People, they just out of laziness, instead of going to shul, because in the shul, you know, they daven later, they daven how many minutes later? They daven 10 minutes later. No, 10 minutes. Who has patience to wait today 10 minutes? You're out of your mind. Today, if you wait even 3 seconds, you can lose your mind. 10 minutes. And maybe chas v'sholem, someone will speak between mincha and ma'ariv. Gewalt. I remember I used to speak between mincha and ma'ariv, my father's shul. When I got up to speak, you never saw what it meant, mass exodus. Yankee is on the phone. Yankee can testify that it's true. When I got up to speak, did the people pack out? Whew! They ran for their life. They ran for their life. So what do? So some of them, I know for a fact, they went, they made a minyan in someone's house. Why? Because to sit and shul, listen to someone speak is anathema. And to wait 10 minutes, how long was the speech anyway? 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Wait 15 minutes? Oy, gewalt, this is kol midui gehenim. Shivan midui gehenim to wait 10 minutes. To wait 10 minutes to daven. So, and what are you davening? Davening in a home. That's usur. You're not allowed to daven. Yeah, not allowed. You're not supposed to daven in a mokum that's not kodesh. When you daven, you're supposed to daven in a mokum that's holy. Even if you'll daven bichidus, you should go to a mokum that has kedusha. Kedusha. When you say here, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David, it's very interesting. This is the nusach you say no matter what. Even if you daven b'yechidus, it's almost like a reminder. You're not supposed to be davening at home. You're supposed to be davening in the bayis. The bayis here means the Beis HaMikdash. And our today, our Mikdash Ma'at, that is our bayis. That's the proper place to daven. And not only should we daven there, every day it should be a Chanukah. It should be a renewal. It should be fresh. Okay, the second idea we discussed is not to have unrealistic expectations. Do not expect that every tefillah will be answered. Look at David. David's whole life was geared to build the Beis HaMikdash. His prayers were not answered in his lifetime. So if David's prayers were not answered in his lifetime, don't come to shul with unrealistic expectations that you're going to get whatever you want. Like we believe in everything else in our lives, is that if there's nothing in it for us, then don't waste your time. If that's the attitude, then you have a very big problem. Tefillah is not for you. Tefillah is there's a lot more going on in tefillah than just praying. There is also in prayer that you'll get what you want, some way, some form, at some time. Of course, that's what tefillah is all about. But the ultimate benefit of tefillah is to connect with Hashem and to acknowledge that we are in His hands. He is the boss. We are here for the ride. And we have to behave ourselves. We have to acknowledge that it is Hashem who gives parnas, Hashem who gives refuah, Hashem who gives brach, Hashem who gives success. And the third idea is that when a person achieves success, don't forget about all of those little things that happened along the way. That's the entire mizmar. David achieves the ultimate success, and 99.9% of the mizmar is where David is reflecting upon the little things in life. The moments where he didn't have hasagas to build the Beis HaMikdash, his hasagas were then, will I live another day? That is, that person should never forget about those moments that allowed him to come where he is today. Okay, now we go on to the next part of Baruch She'amar. Okay, there in most of them there's a Lashem Yichud. We're going to skip for now the Lashem Yichud. We'll put that aside for right now. Let's just jump right away into the Baruch She'amar. The Baruch She'amar is the opening blessing of Pesukei Dezimra. Pesukei Dezimra has two blessings. That's a little of a halacha. It has two blessings. It's a very important point. There's a blessing in the beginning and a blessing at the end. We begin with Baruch She'amar. We start the bracha. Really begins with the words Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. In the middle of the bracha, Kel Ha'ov Harachamon Hanbulo Befe'amo. That's really where the bracha begins, and it concludes, of course, at the end, Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Mulol Batishmuchais. That is the opening blessing. Where is the closing blessing? Yishtabach. Yishtabach Shemcha Lo'ar Malkeinu is the closing blessing of Pesukei Dezimra, which concludes Baruch Atah Hashem Kel Melech Lo Batish Bechoyz Kel Hodois Adon HaNiflos Abchei B'Shei Zimra Melech Kel Chei HaOlamim. Now this is a very important principle in general in Halacha. That is, whenever you have something which is sandwiched by two blessings, that creates a vacuum sealed interior which is off limits. Now, let me give you the classic example. Is when you get an aliyah. Birchos HaTorah, when a person is called up to read the Torah, you make a bracha lefaneha and a bracha liachareha. Asher bachar banu is the opening blessing and the closing blessing, asher nosan lanu teras enes. Now let me give you an example of something which does not have an opening and closing blessing. And it sounds a little bit strange, but birchos hanenin. Let's talk about eating food. So you'll say, what do you mean? When you eat food, you make a bracha lefaneha and a bracha liachareha. It's true. There's a beginning blessing, but in the eyes of Chazal, the two are not related at all. There's a bracha you make. You're not allowed to be neneh from olam hazeh. Even though it looks like it's a sandwich, it's not. The opening blessing and the closing blessing have really nothing to do with each other. There's a principle that it is forbidden for a person to derive benefit from this world unless he makes a blessing. So you make Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hamotzei Lechem Min Haaretz. Wonderful. You're done. You're totally done. There's no halacha of any more. Then there's another halacha called V'achalta, if you ate, V'savat. Are you satisfied? Well, how much did you eat? If you only ate just a teeny amount of bread, you don't bench. If you ate less than a kazayas, there's no bracha. There's no. It's not automatic. You make a birchas hamazon. If you eat less than a kazayas, you don't have to make a. There's no birchas hamazon. And according to the Minat Torah, even if you eat a whole loaf of bread, if you're still hungry, if you're starving and eat a whole loaf of bread and you're still hungry, you don't have to make a birchas hamazon. There's a new din that if you eat. What is the difference between a situation where Chazal have sandwiched an inyan with bracha lefanecha uliachadeha versus a situation where they're completely separate? And the answer is, are you allowed to talk, be mafsik in the middle? When you go to a meal, who doesn't talk? You make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hamotzei Lechem Min Haaretz. You put a little piece of bread in your mouth. And then, okay, what do we want to talk about today? What's on the agenda? What's the latest gossip? What do we want to talk about? You talk, and then you eat more. Oh, wait a minute. How are you allowed to talk? You made a bracha. The bracha of Hamotzei Lechem Min Haaretz is going to fall upon every food that you eat in the next 2 hours in the 7-course dinner. How can you eat the 7th course when you had a conversation between the bracha and the 7th course? What's the big deal? That's the way it works. You make a bracha. The bracha, you're not allowed to be mafsik between the bracha and the first bite. And then from there on in, you do whatever you want. From there on in, once you the bracha, it is still active. It's still in effect all the way to the finish line. And you can talk. But when you have a situation where this the bracha is sandwiched from the beginning to the end, you're not allowed to be mafsik. If you get an aliyah and you make the bracha shabachar banu, and then in the middle of the aliyah, there's some commotion. There's a shaila, there's a sefer Torah, kosher, not kosher. The one who gets the aliyah is not allowed to say one word. Because you're in the middle between the opening blessing and the closing blessing. The closing blessing and the opening blessing create a vacuum-sealed ship, a vacuum-sealed moment that nothing is allowed to enter in between. And therefore, that is why people have to appreciate that you're not allowed to talk during Psukei de Zimra. Because the Zmirois, the Shirois v'Sishbachos that you recite between Baruch She'amar and Yishtabach are sealed. They're vacuum sealed between the two blessings. Anything that is sealed between two blessings create a vacuum. You're not allowed to talk. This is not like making a bracha and eating food. If you make a bracha and you take the first bite, you're done. You're totally done, so you can talk. You can talk, you can eat, you can talk. Oh, Birchas HaMazon. Birchas HaMazon is not attached to the Birchas HaNenen. They're two separate things entirely. But when it comes to an Aliyah, they're attached. When it comes to Psukei Dezimah, they're attached. And because they're attached, you're not allowed to be mafsek. Hallel. We do the same exact thing. We make a bracha in the beginning, a bracha at the end. We make a bracha, Hallel Asher, Kiddushanu, V'mitzvayso V'tzivanu, Mekroi Es HaHallel. And then at the end of Hallel, we make a bracha. At the end of Hallel. Hallel is vacuum sealed. You're not allowed to talk. Now, what about Megillas Esther? Not so poshut. Megillas Esther, the bracha we make at the end of Megillas Esther, according to most opinions, is not attached to the first bracha. It's a completely separate bracha of Shavach. And that is why we are very lenient that if a person does have a conversation in the middle of Megillas Esther, it's okay. Because Megillas Esther is just like eating food. You make a shahakol, you take a little sip, and then you have a conversation. And then 5 minutes later, you drink a little bit more, and you eat a little bit more, and you drink a little bit more, you talk a little bit more. Megillas Esther, you make a bracha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvot v'sivanu al mikra Megillah, and you lay in a few psukim, and then you can talk, have a conversation. And then you go back and you read another parak. And then you have a conversation. And then you go back, because there is no concluding bracha for Megillas Esther. This that we make the bracha kel, harav esri veinu, according to most opinions, is not the concluding bracha. Now, I'm not saying you should do this, of course, especially since some poskim do hold that the bracha kel, harav esri veinu is a concluding blessing, and thus that would make the whole Megillah a vacuum sealed package, which would prevent us from talking. So lechatchila, we do not want to do this. Lechatchila, we don't want lechatchila to do this. But this is an important principle, and it plays out here very importantly in Psukei Dezimra. Psukei Dezimra are words of praise to Hashem as a warm up for the Shmona Esrei. And Chazal very cleverly have packaged it with a bracha lefaneha, a bracha liachareha, and that creates a vacuum seal which does not allow us to say one word in between from the beginning to end.
That's exactly like Hallel.
Exactly like Hallel. Exactly like getting an aliyah where there's a bracha lefaneha, a bracha liachareha, and therefore it is categorically forbidden. It's not a nice thing to do, not to talk. No, it's forbidden because it's sealed. It's vacuum sealed from beginning to end. Between bracha lifaneh, bracha liacharecha, baruch she'amar in the beginning, and yishtabach at the end. Okay, so that is just, that's a halachic thing to be aware of. Now, before we're out of time, let me just tell you a little hagdama. Okay, a little hagdama. Avlez, are you talking to me? Avlez, are you talking to us? I guess not. Now there is okay, one important principle about Baruch Sh'amar and about Psukei Dezimra, and that is the number, we'll end with this, the number 13. Baruch Sh'amar, now it depends on your version, but Baruch Sh'amar, most versions have 13, the word Baruch appears 13 times. All depends on making the calculation. Baruch Sh'amar, Baruchu, Baruch HaSev Reishis, Baruch HaMev Yoseh, Baruch HaZer HaMekayim, Baruch HaMarachim Al Oretz, Baruch HaMarachim Al Abuyos, Baruch HaMasham Soch Tov Lerov, Baruch Chai Lo Ad V'Kal Netzach, Baruch Podi HaMatzil, Baruch Shemo, Baruch HaTo HaShem Kedem Melech HaYolam, and then the very end, it concludes, Baruch HaTo HaShem Melech Mulol Batish Bechais. 13. The word Baruch appears in Baruch Sh'amar in most versions 13 times. Why 13 times? So the popular answer is because the entire, our Psukei Dezimra has 13 parts. The number 13 is a very critical number in prayer for one very simple reason. Everything we know about prayer comes from where? The Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. We ask Hashem for Rachamim when we pray. Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu Rachamim, Vayavor Hashem al Panav Vayikra, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Vechanun, Hashem told Moshe the Yud, Gimel, Midos, Horachanim. So therefore the theme of the number 13 reappears throughout the Tefillah over and over again. Starting with the opening bracha of Pesukei Dezimra, there are 13 times the word Baruch, corresponding to the 13 sections that we are about to read. What are they? Hoidu is number one. Mizmar L'Soida is number two. Yihi Chavod is number three. Ashrei is number four. Then we have five Mizmorim. Okay, that takes us to nine. There are five Mizmorim, which take us to nine. And then we come to Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen, which is 10. Vayivarech David is 11. Uchvacharos Imoy Habris is 12. And Oz Yashir is 13. Am I counting correctly? You have to make sure I'm counting correctly. I'm not a good counter. I get a little confused sometimes, but there are 13. Then the Yishtabach doesn't count. Because Yishtabach, there are different ways to make the calculation. Some are not so happy with Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen. Some take that out. Some hold that Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen is just the conclusion of the five Hallelujahs. And if you'll do that, then you'll make Yishtabach into a significant number in and of itself. You have to work backwards. Basically, there are 13 major sections. I like to keep Baruch Hashem Li'olam as one of them. It's unique, has very, very unique features. Yishtabach doesn't count, because Yishtabach is the bracha. We're not counting, we're only counting the parts in between the two blessings, and there are 13 parts of Pesukei Dezimra. How could you come late and miss out on one of the 13 parts? Like you're missing out a whole year in your life. Bar mitzvah boy, a 13-year-old boy, you can't miss out on any part of your life. There are 13 parts in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra. And you have a bracha lifa and a bracha l'acharecha, corresponding to the 13 times it says the word Baruch in Baruch She'amar. Why 13? Because 13 is the number that reminds us, connects us with the Rachamim, the Yud, Gimel, Midos, Harachamim, which the entire Tefillah is the foundation of Tefillah. Okay, Rabbi Isai, we're going to stop here. Mir Tashem, we'll pick it up next week. Have a good night.
Shkach, Yitzhak. See you next week. Rabbi Fry.